Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Traffic tip call, WBL 504-260-INFO.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm Dave Cohen. Now it's time for Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Yep, here we are, Monday morning. Yep.
Yep. Now, hey, Tigers play a week from the night for the national championship.
They sure do. That's a big thing. Yep. Do you remember the conversation you and I had at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I was deflecting that.
What was it?
You said you were not going to emotionally invest.
And I said I had no expectations, and you said, what do you mean? You don't want him to win the Super Bowl? I said, yeah, I want him to win the Super Bowl, and I want him to win. I want him to win the division. I want him to win a conference. I want all of that, and I want everybody to stay healthy. I want records and everything else. But after the last 2 years, and sometimes you tend to project what you feel onto other people, but I didn't sense the same level of enthusiasm going into the game this weekend as we normally do on a playoff game. Now, maybe that's just me, that because I felt that way, thought that other people felt that way, but I didn't sense it at all.
I think you're right. I think because of the way the regular season ended, because the Saints were the 3 seed and had to play in a wild card game, I think there was some disappointment or disgust, and I think maybe people weren't as hyped. And also, I think you're right. I think we've been programmed to expect things to end in a heartbreaking fashion in the playoffs for the Saints because, well, now it's happened 3 years in a row.
And I wonder if a little bit of that wasn't in the players' minds yesterday. I don't know. Somebody texted in here, this is so ridiculous, another no-call. The integrity of the game is shot. I would be ashamed to catch the ball after a push-off and call that talent only teaching kids to cheat. Look, let me tell you something. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Absolutely.
But I think if you believe that last call or the last no call cost the Saints a game, I think.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
2 years ago,
yeah,
when the game ended against the Vikings in heartbreaking fashion, yeah, I was angry. I was upset.
Yeah.
Last year, though, after the first no call,
yeah,
I honestly felt at the time, and it wasn't a popular position, that the Saints shouldn't have been in that position. They should have won the game much earlier.
Well,
they had opportunities to win it earlier.
Be honest, they had a chance after, too.
Yeah, and it shouldn't have come down to that.
Yeah, but still,
but
they had a
yesterday,
chance after.
I felt definitely that way, that they had so many chances to win that game along the way, that so many mistakes were made, penalties, mental errors, fumbles. I mean, they, other than Taysom Hill, on offense, I don't think anyone really showed up to play yet.
You know, we could talk about a whole lot of things today. Drew Brees turns, and I wrote a blog that's going to be on WWL.com soon. Drew Brees turns 41 on January 15th. He's an unrestricted free agent. Drew Brees, one of the best, if not the best, to play quarterback in the NFL. However, I do think you got to wonder if you got to bring Taysom Hill in to throw the ball 45, 50 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're going to talk about it all morning, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. But let me just say this, Dave. I'm disappointed, but I'm not crushed
right
because of what I told you at the beginning of the season.
You prepared yourself for this eventuality.
I did. When we come back, we can talk about the predictions that everybody made. I don't know who was close, who wasn't on a regular season.
Okay. I'll grab those.
All right. Al Riveron, for what it's worth, said that they looked at every angle Fox had and that they were comfortable with the call. Nothing came through afterward that we had not seen prior to making the ruling. If you think it was the no call that cost them the game, I'll take your calls too. Back with Mike Dottiglia in a flash here on WWL. 6:17 now. It's going to go up to 70 degrees. The sun will come up. I know it probably for a lot of us doesn't seem like it will, but it's gonna. And it turns cool tomorrow. Highs of 62 and 64 on Wednesday. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Was 2019 the successful season for the black and gold? I guess it depends on how you look at it. 55% are saying no, 45% are saying yes. Mike Dottiglia joins us now, our friend, WWL NFL and college football analyst. And Mike, it seems like in the old days, 13-3, win a division, hey, everybody's happy, right? At least we got to the playoffs. But I don't think it's the same thing now, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. You've raised the bar here. Sean has raised the bar on what your expectations is are to end the season. And, you know, you the way it ends now, three straight years to end the season like this, I think the expectations was this football team was good enough to get to the Super Bowl, and you didn't make it happen. You can blame everybody else, but you can blame the guy in the mirror. You lost this football game yesterday. Yep. You didn't play well. You were outplayed, outcoached, and this is not the best of five, a best of seven. It's one game, and yesterday the Vikings were better than the Saints.
You know what? I was thinking about it that way today, Mike, in terms of each individual player. If you can look in the mirror and say you did everything you could to win the game, if you're a coach and you look in the mirror and you said you did everything possible to win the game, well, and I guess that means they're better players and they're better coaches, right? If not, then you'd have to say, well, we left something out there that we should have brought to the game and we didn't.
Well, you left something out there. Just the way it is. Come on, you had situations that from a missed field goal to a fumble, and you just sure took the sack, Metro. Mm-hmm. At that point, you can't try to make something happen. You got to take the sack. The Vikings came in with a game plan, and what surprised me was how well, and we talked about it so much in the pregame, they have handled the Saints up front, because we talked about strength versus strength. The Vikings' defensive line going up against the Saints' offensive line. The Vikings won that. And they said it after the game. You know, part of that was they took some features they saw in both games the Saints played against Atlanta, 1-1. One was a win, one was a loss, and used that against them. And so that was a coaching situation there where the Vikings found a weak link in the chain. And, you know, you lose the turnover ratio. You were running the football. You should have done more of that. So, I mean, listen, losing has a bunch of fathers.
Yep.
It's just not one thing. It has a ton of fathers at the end.
They got
but
a bunch.
It's
of,
so abrupt.
They got a bunch of fathers, but sometimes it takes who's that guy's name? Maury Povich, to determine who the father is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, on this thing, it'd be a couple of shows on that. But this is why the NFL is what it is. It's abrupt. When it ends, it's over.
It's a finale.
And that mentality of, hey, when you lose, you go home, sometimes it's stunning. It's just how you get hit with it. And yesterday, the way this football team got played, you knew the Vikings were a pretty good team. You know, listen, when you get to the playoffs, you're a good football team. But it was how well they handled the Saints up front. And you know what? They went after your best, one of your better players on defense.
Let me pick
they
it up
went
here.
After Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, let me pick it up here when we come back. Mike, something else I want you to address is that the Vikings yesterday, 40 rushing attempts, 31 passing. The Saints rushed the ball 17 times. They threw it 34, twice as many. I think the question there, Mike, you can answer when we come back is that because of a coaching decision that was made, or is that because the Vikings refused to let them run the ball or prevented them from running the ball? And is there another option in terms of Latavius Murray? Would there have been a way to run the ball? 6:21, time now for traffic on WWL. New Year's here, and with that new year comes new products and moving forward with technology as it does every year. Let me tell you about APS. For 30-plus years, APS has been your local business connection and protection. APS has new security systems that are far more than security. They have an entire ecosystem of smart devices giving you control over your entire business and home. The all-new award-winning IQ Panel 2, which is a 7-inch screen with multiple wireless radios and a clean, elegant, and modern user interface. Their newest camera technology can recognize the difference between a crying baby and a smoke alarm. It is a powerful way to monitor your home, pets, and family from anywhere. Knowledge, and knowledge is power, right? I have APS, and I love it. Call APS today at 4555-APS, 504-455-5APS, or text them at 504-455-5277. Online at Security by APS. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, dissecting yesterday's Saints game. Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll asking you, is 2019 a successful season for the black and gold? I would say no, but about 50% of you are saying yes, it was. Mike Dettelier, when you run the ball half as many times as you throw it, and the Saints had 34 passes yesterday, 17. Conversely, Minnesota rushed it 40 times, threw it 31. Does that say anything about the commitment? Because here's the deal. You can't run it, right? And I rewatched a quarter of it last night until I literally got sick, so I had to turn it off. But if you looked at it, I always watch the line because that, to me, gives me a lot of want to, okay? It tells me a lot of, unless there's a substantial talent difference, you watch Ed Trent, you go see who wants it more than the other. So at that point, no matter what's going on, if you're not running it, you have to do something to counter that, right? So in your opinion, did it look as though the Saints had a plan B as far as not being able to run the ball?
Well, you ran the ball 17 times, and what it was, 97 yards?
Yeah.
So just doing the math in my head, what is that, 5.7 yards a rush?
5.7.
Okay. That's pretty successful for me. But, you know, a big part of that, add up the plays, you know, because of the fact the Vikings rushed the ball 40 times, threw it 31. The Saints, 17 carries as running and 34 passing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, look how much more the Vikings had the football yesterday.
Yep.
They played it in their lane of traffic. The Saints could not convert on third downs until really the fourth quarter. It started to click a little bit. So, again, it goes back to the number of plays. But if you would have told me before the game, Saints just run the ball 17 times, I'd have told you that's a loss. That's not the type of football that they normally do to win games. It's the balance. But, you know, all my thinking is 5.7 yards a rush, that's pretty strong.
That ain't bad.
And
that's a first down. That's a first down after two rushes, right?
And you look at the Vikings, they average, you know, if it's 40 carries and 135, 136 yards, that's about, what, 3.4 a carry. So, again.
Now you're pretty smart, ain't you, Mike?
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah. They had some commitment to it. And in the first half, Dalvin Cook gashed him. Now, the second half, I give the Saints a lot of credit. They made the adjustment to stop Dalvin Cook, but he controlled the tempo of the game in the first half. Second half, that wasn't the case. So, again, you got beat up front, offensive, defensive line. And when you lose that battle, you lose in games. But bottom line, you're going to lose it.
Listen to this. This is a call from yesterday with Zach Strieff.
Breeze takes a snap, waist high, drops back, looking to throw towards the end zone. Touchdown, Taysom Hill! Taysom Hill all alone in the back of the end zone, and that is exactly what this offense needed.
We had a miscommunication. I wanted the highlight of, and it's my fault, I wanted the highlight of Taysom Hill's long completion, okay? Could Drew Breeze have thrown that pass?
You watch that pass. Bobby and I sit next to one another. Watch it closely. Of the concentration on Deontay Harris. Reasoning why, you can see the defender put his hand right in front, almost swatting the football away at the final second, and it got through. Deep passes, I'm just telling you, in this league, you don't see a lot of them. Yeah, and Taysom, man, just was an unbelievable game yesterday for what he did.
You know what I'm asking.
Again, that's not true about Drew. I think arm strength wise for the deep pass, that was never a great feature for him. Mm-hmm. And today, as you get older, it's not going to be a great feature for you.
I will take a break for news, but again, like you say, that's not, you know, common in the NFL. Normally it's more like short passes that are almost like runs. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL here. Now, Dave Cohen with WWL First News.
Traffic tip call, WWL 504-260-INFO.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm Dave Cohen. Now we go back to Tommy Tucker, and per your request, sir, I have pulled the prediction sheets
For people that don't know, every year at the beginning of the season, we fill out our prediction sheets, and Dave hangs on to all of them. I think Josh got it right last year, correct?
Josh was the only person who got the record right last year.
All right, so what happened this year?
Four people properly predicted a 13-3 record.
Was I one of them?
You were.
Okay.
You, myself, Jim Hanzo, and Chris Miller all predicted the Saints would go 13-3.
Did anybody get the games right in terms of which ones they'd lose?
No. In fact, you, Jim, and Chris did not get any of the losses correct.
Well, we got the numbers right.
I got one of the losses correct. So for the first time in 23 years of doing this,
I
am the champion of predicting the outcome.
That's the tie-breaking procedure?
Yeah. They'll win,
who determined that?
The more wins and losses correct.
Who determined that?
Logic.
No, who determined it?
Well, how else?
You?
How else would you predict? If we all said 13-3. No, I properly predicted that they would lose to the Rams.
Let me tell you this. Well, congratulations.
Nobody else did. Now, I got the other two losses wrong, but you got all three wrong.
Yeah, well, but, you know, you're right. You win.
But it's the first time ever. I'm very bad at this. So the fact that I actually won is, to me, momentous.
I guess you can get involved in this, huh? If not, let me know. Was 2019 a successful season for the black and gold?
It was a successful regular season.
Not the question.
No, absolutely not. Because the bar was much higher. It was a Super Bowl or bust kind of season because of what's happened the last 2 years. They had to win the Super Bowl to make this a successful season.
So you get that window. I'm going to talk to Mike when we come back about that window that's closing. And is it closed completely? I guess the other thing, Dave, is all you do is you give yourself a tougher schedule. Drafting 24 as it stands now, if you'd have gone 3-13.
That still wouldn't have been good enough to get the first pick.
No, I know, but we'll be back. WWL. 6:45, 15 before 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I can't see the sun from where I am, but I presume that it has, in fact, risen, something that a lot of us weren't sure of after yesterday's game. Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL college football analyst. Mike, is there some Saints could have done to adjust yesterday? Did they wait too long to do it? Because, you know, when you look at Dalvin Cook, they held him to 94 yards. He didn't bust 100, and the Saints have done well against big-time running backs this season. I don't think anybody got over 100, did they?
They haven't had they haven't given up 100 yards rushing to an individual rusher since November of 2017.
Wow.
And in Football Jeopardy, that guy is Samaje J. Perine with the Redskins. No, listen, that would be a tough one on Football Jeopardy.
You would. So could they have – did you see any adjustment that they made yesterday, or was it just getting their butt kicked on a line all day long?
No, it wasn't all day. And when you look back at it with Cook, he was gashing them in the first half. And then they made adjustments in the second half, and he didn't dominate the game.
Looked like he was running into walls in the second half.
Exactly. But you know, the surprise part is that Adam Thielen, and it's funny, we talked about this in a pregame. Thielen had been a bit of a disappointment this year. Vikings fans, even people that covered the Vikings, brought up he wasn't as dominant. Yesterday, caught 7 passes for 129 yards. And they went after Marshawn Lattimore in that spot. But again, many times you saw Kirk Cousins had a lot of time to throw the football. They didn't have pressure on him. So again, kind of one domino has to hit the next. You can't cover forever, and if you don't get a pass rush, they were able to convert on much better on the third down situations than the Saints were. Now in the fourth quarter, the Saints seemingly kicked into gear, but still, it was one of those type games that you see how it breaks down. It was the recipe for a loss.
You know, when you look at next year, and you know, we can talk about the game yesterday all morning long with the listeners. Yeah. But when you look at next year, they got some serious free agent issues that they have to address.
Well, yeah, and you got to decide what you want to do. I think it'll be. Well, I think this year, this offseason, will be the most active that I've seen in my time frame for veteran quarterbacks of what's going to happen. If it's Brady, Breeze, Phillip Rivers, Matt Stafford, Teddy Bridgewater, that's a list of these guys that what is going to happen to them in the offseason. I don't think I'd be shocked if Brady and Breeze retired. I'd be shocked. Both of them are going to play again. You know, I hear a lot of people, they both ought to retire. My thing is, did they tell you to retire? You know, it's your job. It's sort of like the Seinfeld episode. My neighbor Joe Clark had it years ago. You know, Joe retired in his late 70s as a coach. And he was like, you know what? I'd like to go to somebody else's workplace and watch them and critique them. And, you know, Seinfeld did an episode not long after that about, because he had got heckled at a nightclub. And then he went try to heckle somebody at work. And I think that's when she got the pinky toe
lost. Exactly. But along those lines, there's something else going on with Seinfeld as well in Dallas, and that's Jason Garrett. He kind of refuses to leave, huh?
Yeah, pretty much he's like Costanza.
Yeah.
He comes back into the office afterwards. So, listen, you know, some of that does have some relevance. But, again, you can see the pressure when it comes to playoff time and understanding that when you lose or you don't play well as a team, you stay home. And it's going to be an adventurous offseason for these teams of what do you do with the veteran quarterbacks if you have one? And how much are you willing to pay? And there's going to be a lot of ebb and flow with this.
Mike,
even Robert Kraft said this morning he would want Tom Brady to come back to New England. But if he doesn't, you know, he would hope he would retire. Well, you know, okay, that's great for you.
Easy for you to say.
But that ain't great for Brady, you know? Come on. You know Brady's going to play, and you know Breeze is going to play again.
And Brady could say, you know, and Mr. Kraft, I prefer you were more discretionary about where you got your massages.
Yeah, right.
All right, when we come back, look, we'll talk about this quarterback. All three Saints quarterbacks are free agents, right? Taysom Hill, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Brees. We'll delve into the quarterback position when we come back right here on WWL, where we pause for traffic. 6:55, Tommy Tucker, Mike Dettelier, NFL and college football analyst. Next hour, we're going to have open lines. I want you to call me, tell me what you have done, would have done differently yesterday. Mike, I'm going to table a quarterback question for now because the rumors have already begun that Sean Payton's going to Dallas. They start every year, of course, but
Come
this year
on.
You got. And I'm just telling you, that's what the rumors address that, if you will, please.
He just signed an extension to this contract. He just got a new deal. Apparently people don't either they're thick-headed or they don't understand what a new deal is with a team. And he just signed a new contract with the Saints. So they can stop that. Listen, I got buddies of mine that I would never want to work with, but I love them to death. And I think that's the deal with Sean. I think him and Jerry get along great, but he's worked for Jerry before.
Mm-hmm.
He understands control part on Jerry. So that's not going to happen. He's not going to Dallas. He has a new deal with the Saints. It was announced this year. So why would somebody, unless you thick-headed, understand about what a new contract means?
All right, so three quarterbacks, free agents as of now. Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Brees, and Taysom Hill. Ain't no way Taysom Hill's going anywhere. Would that be correct assumption?
Well, and he's restricted, too.
Oh, is he?
He
okay.
is a free agent, but he is restricted. And I think Drew returns, to be honest with you. I think the big question mark is, what happens with Teddy? And do the Saints believe that he is the guy to eventually be the replacement for Drew? I think Teddy is going to get a better deal somewhere else.
Eli Apple on the team next year?
No, I think he's going to get a better contract somewhere else.
What about David Onyemata?
David, along with Von Bell, becomes the two big question marks on defense, on what do you want to do there. Von was having, a really strong year before he got hurt. And Onyemata's part of that rotation. The two big money deals, though, are two deals for guys entering the final year of their contract. Alvin Kamara on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Sheldon Rankins on defense. What do you do with both of them? Because you don't want to get them into that once this 2020 is over with and into a deal when they can become free agents.
Right.
So you try to do that money deal earlier. That's a lot of financial decisions this team has to look at in the mirror, so to speak, this offseason.
Then they really got you by the cup. Andrus Pete.
I think Andrus leaves. I think for him, financially, he's going to get a better deal somewhere else. And I still think in the back of his mind, he believes he can play left tackle, and playing left tackle means he's going to have to go to another team.
So real quick, when it comes to Michael Thomas, how'd they take him out of the game? Was it about the pressure on Drew where he didn't have time to look? Were they in the scheme where they pretty well took all of the receivers out?
Well, listen, man, that pressure came right up the middle. They attacked the Saints interior yesterday. Yep. It wasn't off the edge. It was right up the middle.
There was no pocket to step up into.
No, and it just basically they bombed his launch pad.
Yep.
They got him off of center, and that took away those short throws to Thomas. Also, I got to give props to Xavier Rhodes, who had not played good all year. He played really well yesterday against Mike. I thought that was certainly his best football game. But it all starts up front, Tommy. That's where they had the Saints by the teriyaki. In essence, Drew was running backwards because of that intense pressure right up the middle.
If y'all tape the game, go back and look at it because – you'll see what Mike's talking about. Usually the linemen form a pocket, obviously. That's what they call it. Yeah, like a cup. The rush goes around him. Drew steps up. When Drew stepped up yesterday, he was stepping into a wall.
Yep.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the time. Y'all are second guessing this evening, right?
Yeah, we do it till the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. So, yeah, we'll be there at the Slipper tonight, Bobby J and I, from 4 to 7.
Thank you, Michael. A pleasure as always.
All right, buddy.
Have a good day. Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL and college football analyst. When we come back, I didn't want any guests. I wanted to open the lines.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.